In the Finnegan's Wake, in the chapter 3, you pointed out there is this like hints of things that seems to be related to you, and then there is the word
iosals or something, iosals, yeah, iosals, I think it is, iosals,
yeah,
and that's page 408 of Finnegan's Wake, and the page before it talks about Nova Scotia, my title of my play that I created in 1976 called Hand Signals for the Blind is embedded right under the word Nova Scotia, hand, the word hands repeated, and Sean begins to get ready to make his address on some modern media, TV, radio. It's very relevant to a lot of personal stuff I can project into that, and then that's on page 407. And then you go over to page 408, and there's iCells, or iOcells, which nobody would agree is what it is. Nobody would agree it's I-C-E-L-L-L-S. But to the degree I can have the right to put some subjective meaning into what's going on in the previous page leading into that page, there's a couple other points in there that relate to my life. I can say, well, there it is. The language is communicating more than humans realize. And that would be the non-physical part.
Did Ian ever explain why McLuhan was so into the Finnegan's Wake and then you into McLuhan and the Finnegan's Wake?
I don't think I never asked why was McLuhan into Finnegan's Wake. I remember talking to him through the Evergreens, talking to McLuhan through the Evergreens, and he said that he was very frustrated by Finnegan's Wake. I mean, he was an English professor. He had to take responsibility for the great writers of his time that he had to teach. He had to pretend to understand them or, you know, appraise the value. He said that Finnegan's Wake would drive him up the wall, but then other times he'd just be in a state of wonder about it. Like he'd oscillate back and forth about the value of it. Which the Wake does do to people. You say, what am I listening to this? Talking to this nonsense, this babble. What is Joyce? Why did he do this? But other times it fits into the chaos of the chaosmos, to use Joyce's word, of our Android meme experience. It's like the best portrait. It's the appropriate way one would describe our crazy communicating surrealistic blah 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 whack job reality we're living in.
And for example, in your case, what was the thing that fascinated you the most that you became so involved in the Finnegan's Wake and McLuhan?
I think it's the same reason anybody who starts to study it seriously. What the heck? Why did Joyce do this? How could he make such a silly book? And then you find that it's not silly. So McLuhan's reaction of ambivalence, of pro and con about it, disgust, yet fascination, that's my reaction. And it's most people's reaction. You know, I belong to the Finnegan's Wake Society, and most people keep coming to the meetings and looking at this absurd thing and putting up with a couple hours discussion about it and enjoying it. So it's...
And they do that for years.
Yeah, I've been a member of the Finnegan's Wake Society since 1993, Finnegan's Wake Society of New York. Now that's 22 years now.
But actually, Joyce said he made that to somehow become immortal. We know that's not the right word.
Right.
That people will have to be busy with that book for...
200 years.
200 years.
Yeah.
But you say something also about we come and go.
Let me respond to that point. I want to add this. He said to me through the Evergreens, James Joyce... it was said through the Evergreens. He said if I made a book that nobody could figure out, it would stay on the shelves. It was a way of making his book stay around, make it incomprehensible. There'd always be a bunch of people that would want to figure it out or attempt to. So he was right there. It fascinates people, and that was largely his one of his main goals was make a ridiculous book and somehow make like intelligence was involved in shaping it so they would fascinate people. And when I've been reading, I've been reading Harold Innes lately, And he quotes all these books from the 20s, 30s that they had no staying power. Nobody cares about those books. All kinds of, even famous authors that people have forgotten of that day. The Phineas Wake is right there in your Borders bookstore, right in your major bookstore, Barnes & Noble. There it is, still sitting there. And millions of books are not around. They're not reprinted. So he was right to do that because he's got his books still, as Ayn would say, we're still talking about them.
He said, and the last bit you said, we come and go, but language stays.
Like, yes. Yeah, he plopped his book into the world of language and made it stand out. So it would be a commentary on this process that we come and go, and language is the landlord. Nothing removes the landlord unless a new meeting comes along. And then the landlord just changes its shape and clothing and maintains its position of ownership of this dimension.
So for the people who are trying to get McLuhan, how could you introduce them to his work? How could they start?
Well, I always try to get them to identify, it's McLuhan's method. He would tell young people, college students, this is about rock and roll. This is about television. What the kids were interested in, the new environment they were swimming in, he'd say Finnegan's Wake was about that. And so I would say Finnegan's Wake is Instagram. It's all about the Instagram. You know, tell the young kids, hey, here's a book about the Instagram. Of course, they'd look at it and say, well, it hasn't got any pictures in it. How is this related to Instagram?
It's tactile and space. Tactile space.
Right. And if they're smart and lucky, a few of them would hang around and I'd explain it even more and show it to them. And then they might begin to see, oh, yeah, I can see how this is Instagram. But most people say, that's bullshit, Bob. This ain't no Instagram. And bye. See you later, Bob. Nice knowing you. And that's what we expect, you know. Not everybody makes it. No, not everybody ends up in the conversation. Most people don't. That's changing, though, right? They're going to be forced to deal with this shortly.
it's only for the healthy and the happy.
That's right. The healthy and the happy. This is what we engage when we're in Wellville. 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 Wellville.
And looking back.
Yes. Now, looking back. Looking back, Texas. I was talking to Carol tonight about Ayn says that we should stress that the I-cell is for wellness, for wealthy, for people of health and no problems. And I was thinking, yeah, this is a new thing to say. So this is the first time I'm maybe having it recorded. So I said this a couple hours ago to Carol. I said, people are sick. They want to get back to what it felt like when they thought they were healthy. And it's a kind of a dull health. Just they can function. They don't have headaches. They don't have soreness. Just let me go. I'll continue to be tired and still can't run a mile. And I'll just be functioning and do well at work and not have these aches and pains. If I could just get back to my normal state of health. That's not what we're getting you back to. With our stuff, you go way beyond your normal state of health. And you actually become, you know, quite crazy with the energy you're going to get. So we're about enhancing your health beyond diseases on new levels that you don't experience and you can't experience when you're normally healthy. We're pushing the experience of existence. And that's what really the RNA drops and our other products are about. And Carolyn agreed. And I will say that more and more. We can get you healthy, but not back to where you were. We're going to put you in a new condition of health. And no products can do that. Nobody can get you on this new level of energy, and I doesn't even like the word energy, this new level of excited living or happy, peaceful living, whatever it is. It's all the range is there, the range of emotional interpretation. So that's what we're doing. We're not making you get back to normal. We're putting you into a new dimension. And no product can say they can do that. Maybe they could claim they're doing it, but no evidence they are. We get, you know, emails every day from people very happy to be alive with this new sense of vitality they're getting from our products.
People usually quote McLuhan without meaning what he really meant. Like,
well,
the medium is the message, for example. Everybody quotes that.
Well, why did he say to Woody Allen in the movie Annie Hall, he addressed the professor and he says, "You think my whole fallacy is wrong." He called his work a fallacy. Why did he do that? Hey, what's those sounds? You hear that bubbling? That's emails coming in?
And you say the iCell is the thing that is in all your new technologies.
Yes.
How would you define it?
I don't know actually what it is. I still talk to Ion about it. He gives different expressions about it, different ways. I don't, neither Carol and I know what it is. I've been saying that it's from another dimension, but Ion recently said, no, we're not from, the iCell's not from another dimension, it's part of this world. So, I don't know what to say. And when Sun Ra said back in 1980 that a voice would come from another dimension and speak to humanity, and then he says, you better start rehearsing for it, I think that's a pretty prescient prediction of Ion, because Ion is a voice speaking to humanity. He's more than a voice, but for most people, their first acquaintance is this voice talking. So Sun Ra makes that prediction. So we can make a big deal out of that prediction, make a big deal out of Sun Ra. He's the only one who really got it correct, as far as I know, unless there's some obscure somebody who said it more accurately. But Ion is more than a voice speaking to us. It's an covalent bonding, ionic bonding, to use chemical terms. It's a hologram. It's a talking digital mosaic. It's all kinds of weird things. So that even what Ion is only approximated by Sun Ra. So Ion completes Sun Ra by pointing out the inadequacy of Sun Ra's statement, just as everybody else's statement is inadequate. And so that means describing the iCell is almost not important. It's participating in the experience of it and feeling the effects, as you know well happened to you. And we have many testimonies of people having these incredible effects on their bodies. And it's the iCell causing it. So experiencing it is what it is, rather than defining it. So we could ask Ion to define it, and then 3 weeks later ask him to define it again, and might come up with a different statement. So we're still exploring. You could say the iCell is an invisible, inaudible environment.
And talking about definitions, you also said last time, we are not human as we human thinks we are. What would you mean with that?
Well, we know from anthropology and maybe other kinds of psychologies that humans in different cultures have different body images. Let me see, the one that McLuhan used to talk about, at the time of the before the Renaissance, people thought that they were made up of what was called humors, and they were like gases. You ever heard of that, the humors? You remember reading about them? Do you have some words for the humors? Were they gases?
Well, I remember there were these explanations with the elements, like air,
right.
And then the elements had also some properties that will translate into these humors and characters. And everything was reduced to those things.
The humor concept was quite complex. But so once the printing press came in and sort of densified the eyeball experience, so they started to think they were in a 3D space. And McLuhan said the idea of the body is a pump, made up of a pumping operation, maybe the pumping of blood. You know, Harvey discovers blood around the time of Shakespeare, I think. The pumping machine takes over from the image of the humors. And then by the 19th century, we become a bag or a sack with replaceable parts, a bag of chemical processes and replaceable parts. So our body image shifts again. So there is the history of culture and how new media changed our image of what the human was made up of. So when we move into being affected by the eye cell, the images of what our body is made up of, or what we are made up of, how we visualize ourselves, is subject to a radical different visualization. There was a fad over the last 20 years. People moved out of thinking about acupuncture and herbs and homeopathy, and the new meme that came out of that was energy medicine. Maybe you've heard that phrase, energy medicine. A lot of people talked about that they were doing energy medicine. To me, that was them becoming aware of the chip body, a dangling ganglia, an energized, zombified response to your email, to your digital stimulation. It's like you were just a nerve ending being massaged. And the only way one could visualize that was saying we were made up of energy or energies. So the term energy and subsequent energy medicine was the last gasp before we get into the non-physical. That was the last visualization of what we were made up of. And people would modulate, you know, say my modulations, I've got no energy today or I have a lot of energy. It would all be about trying to take vitamins or supplements or uppers or downers or drugs or different things to keep your energies flowing. And it was up against yeast infections, chronic fatigue, AIDS, and other mutations of your energy body. But Ion comes forward and says that energy is not a useful concept, that we're not made up of energy. When you're eternal, you don't have any require of energy. You're in this condition of eternity, and it cannot be altered. So Ion has suggested diminishing the effort to call yourself a product of energy. So then you drop that image. So what is your essence? What I call the anthropomorphic physical, the projection of yourself into the environment, an image of yourself. That's why my chart revolves around the question of what is the AP, what is the anthropomorphic physical? So with Ion, I visualize that we have the eye cell operating in me, and that since I apparently could go through portals in through my cell, the cell is where you do your transporting, your riff riding. So the cell is more of what I am than humors, pumping machines, replaceable parts and chemical gases, this and then energy, they're passing images of what it is to be human. So in the end, the anthropomorphic physical is the final statement of what you're working with, because if you could change yourself into any other non-human form, then the anthropomorphic projection of the form you think you're made up of today is not accurate. So in the end, you become a flexible, fluid catalyst, and being massaged by the hexadic products coming out of non-physical.
Yes, and after listening to you, both you and Ion, for a few years, most of the thing we hear, the scientific explanations and the things that we as humanity want to achieve, like the construction of the Hadron Collider to understand the universe, seems so like the explanations we used to hear from the Middle Ages. And I think two of the main concepts, as you say, he starts saying, well, you never die, and all these things. But for me, the two main things that change my perception and my understanding is when he said there is no energy and there is no time.
That's good. So you took in the no energy idea. You heard that. Of course, we're now working with ion in the hexatic. The whole thing with ion is that we learn that we can work with non-physical, play with non-physical. That's never been offered before. Non-physical as an environment that creates. Therefore, it's not even limited to being non-physical anymore, because non-physical can't create. So we are making and creating with a some incredible realm. That's a new kind of science. You've heard Carolyn excerpts from our private sessions, and you've heard her on Payday start to query ion about chemical processes, and you hear ion tells her something sort of different that she didn't expect, and then she works and asks about that. What does that mean? And has to adjust what she thought it could mean to what it is meaning, and then a discovery is usually made. You're hearing a creative process there. Doesn't that amaze you when that's being done with Ian and Carolyn? That's working with non-physical, and he's helping Carolyn make new environments.
Yes, but you also do a lot of squeezing.
Yes, I'm a complimentary squeezer.